Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Jefferson County Commissioners Court for Monday, November 12th, 2013. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Arnold, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Weaver. If you'll rise, please.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to live in this great nation, where our freedoms are numerous and sometimes taken for granted. Lord, I ask that you give us, this elected body, the guidance and wisdom to make the right decisions that are legal, ethical, and the representative of the residents of Jefferson County. We ask a special blessing for those who are less fortunate than us, for those who don't have freedoms of worship or a government that represents their interests. I pray all of these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in reciting the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we're going to go a little bit out of order today. We're going to begin with items under Commissioner's Court. Item A is to consider and possibly adopt and authorize county judge to execute, receive, and file the amended Jefferson County Section 3 plan, which is required by the Texas General Land Office for all recipients of disaster recovery funding. Item B is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for National Adoption Day. And item C is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Alzheimer's Awareness Day. Do I have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And I understand that given that both my children are adopted, I'm going to exercise a point of privilege and read this proclamation. Who's here on... And Judge Thorne, why don't you bring your group up to the podium and we'll read this proclamation and then I'll let you, whoever wishes to speak. The proclamation states as follows: Whereas Jefferson County recognizes the importance of giving children permanent, safe, and loving families through adoption, whereas more than 123,000 children in the United States foster care system are waiting to be adopted, whereas more than 6,647 children in Texas are waiting for permanent families, and whereas more than 49 children in Jefferson County are waiting for permanent families. Whereas to help children find permanent, nurturing families, the local courts of Jefferson County will open their doors on National Adoption Day, Friday, November 22, 2013, to finalize the adoptions of local children and join other organizations to celebrate all adoptions. And whereas this effort, along with similar celebrations in all 50 states around the country, will offer children the chance to live with stable and loving families and encourage other dedicated individuals to make a powerful difference in the lives of a child through adoption. Whereas this year's adoption ceremony will be held in loving memory of longtime Jefferson County District Clerk Lolita Ramos for her many years of support and participation in helping place foster children in permanent homes. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County does hereby proclaim November 22, 2013 as National Adoption Day in Jefferson County, and in so doing urges all citizens to join in a national effort to raise awareness about the importance of adoption.
Thank you. And we do have Speaker Eleanor Johnson.
Thank you, Commissioners, today for recognizing November as National Adoption Month in Jefferson County. We're here today not only to celebrate the joy of adoption, but to also raise awareness for the more than 100,000 children across the United States that are still waiting in foster care for families of their own. These children wait an average of over 3 years in foster care, changing homes, schools, leaving friends, and familiar places. And they're wondering if they'll ever have someone to call mom and dad. Each year, more than 26,000 young adults age out of foster care without families. Many of us think that children at 18 in foster care become adults and don't need families. But how many of us, when we turned 18, didn't need our families? So we're challenging you guys today to encourage your friends and your families to consider adoption and becoming foster parents. With that, we'd like to recognize all of the people that have shared National Adoption Day with us. Judge Thorne and the courts, Child Protective Services, CASA, Buckner's, the Jefferson County Bar Association, all the area judges and the courthouse staff, and I think the drug court. I hope I didn't forget anybody that are here, but we're all here. And Friday we'll celebrate in Judge Thorne's court at 10:30 at 10 o'clock in Judge Thorne's court. And we assure you that if you guys come and celebrate with us, it's going to be a day that you'll never forget. Thank you again.
Thank you, Judge. Anybody else?
Well, we certainly will do our best to encourage everyone to consider adoption and foster care. It's a very fulfilling and worthwhile venture. I love my two daughters to death, although the older one, had you asked me to return her between the ages of 13 and 17, I might have. So thank you so much for all the work that each of you do in helping to fight this horrible problem of familyness.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge. Worse. All right. Ms. Domino. Ms. Domino. Please bring your group up. Commissioner Senegal is going to read your proclamation.
Alzheimer's Awareness Day, where in 2013 an estimated 5.2 million Americans of all ages are living with Alzheimer's, and about 360,000 people are newly diagnosed every year, and whereas in 2013 an American developed Alzheimer's disease every 68 seconds, and in 2050 it is predicted that an American would develop the disease every 33 seconds. And whereas Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia and currently a progressive and irreversible disease, and whereas of Americans aged 65 and over, 1 in 8 has Alzheimer's, and 1 in 3 people aged 85 and older has the disease, and 1 in every 3 seniors dies with Alzheimer's or another dementia. And whereas there are more than 15 million caregivers in the United States providing daily comfort and care for people with Alzheimer's, and whereas there are approximately 140,000 people in Southeast Texas affected by Alzheimer's or related dementia, and whereas the Alzheimer's Association is the leading resource for people living with the disease and their caregivers, providing care, consultation, referrals, and broad range of comprehensive caregiving resources for information and education. And whereas the Division of Alzheimer's Association is a world without Alzheimer's, and whereas the vision of the Alzheimer's Association is a world without Alzheimer's, and awareness and research are our hope for achieving this vision. Now therefore be it resolved that the Commissioner's Court of Jefferson County, Texas do hereby proclaim Wednesday, November 20, 2013 as Alzheimer's Awareness Day in Jefferson County, and we encourage all citizens to support the Family Portrait Luncheon and the causes of the Alzheimer's Association, Houston and Southeast Texas chapter, signed this 12th day of November.
Thank you so very much. My name is Linda Domino, and on behalf of the Alzheimer's Association, Houston and Southeast Texas chapter, and the Family Portrait Luncheon Committee, we thank you, Judge Brannick and commissioners, for this wonderful proclamation and for assisting us in our efforts to shine a light on Alzheimer's. You know, this is a disease that affects so many individuals and families in our community and in our nation. I am joined by several members of the Family Portrait Luncheon Committee. I'd like to acknowledge them, Cynthia Wolf, Kathy Shoemaker, Carol Gary, supposed to be here, Alberta Jones, Connie Zuch, Virginia Bean, and Clarissa Urban, who is our Alzheimer's Association Regional Outreach Coordinator. Thank you for being here with me today. We have a committee of about 50 people who are the ambassadors for getting the word out that we do have an Alzheimer's Association here in Beaumont, Texas, to serve Southeast Texas. And that's one of our goals, is to make that a fact very evident in our community, because there are so many people that need the services of the Alzheimer's Association. And I run into people all the time that say, oh, I didn't know we had an Alzheimer's office here in Beaumont, but we do. So we're here to let everybody in the community know that. So the goals of the Family Portrait Luncheon are to honor family members and friends who have been affected by Alzheimer's, to support dementia educational programs and awareness in Southeast Texas, and to help fund research, because funding research is the answer, the key that will unlock the mystery. We want to thank you so very much for having us today in Commissioner's Court, and for your proclamation, and for helping us to publicize this event. And with that, does anybody else want to say anything? We thank you
very much. And y'all doing wonderful work out in the community, like all of you always have, with not only with this organization, but with other organizations. So we appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much.
We're happy to do it for you.
Thank you so much, Judge.
Then we'll go to items under purchasing. Item A is to receive and file bid for airport T-hanger pavement rehabilitation. Item B is to receive and file bids for a term contract for more transport services for Jefferson County. Item C is to receive and file bids for a term contract for elevator maintenance and repairs for Jefferson County. Item D is to award Jefferson County Drainage District Number 7 ditch improvements for the Road Eric Gully Lateral 3A to MK Constructors in the amount of $988,083. And this is a project that's funded by Round 1 Texas Department of Rural Affairs grant administered by the Texas General Land Office as a result of Hurricane Ike. Item E is to award, execute, receive, and file a contract for airport T-hanger pavement rehabilitation with APAC Texas, Inc. in the amount of $256,011.26. Item F is to award, execute, receive, and file acceptance of offer for a term contract for more transport services for Jefferson County with BJ Transport Service at the prices shown on Attachment A. We're going to take G separately. Item H is to award, execute, receive, and file acceptance of offer for a term contract for catalog pricing for janitorial supplies for Jefferson County with AOSS Medical Supply, Certified Laboratories, Hygia EnviroClean, Inc., ICS Jail Supplies, Inc., Janpack, the Matera Paper Company, Professional Polish and Sanitary Supply Company, as shown on Attachment B. Item I is to execute, receive, and file a contract for rebid Jefferson County Drainage District Number 7 Ditch Main B Diversion with MK Constructors in the amount of $2,961,035. That contract's available for viewing in the Jefferson County Purchasing Department. This, again, is a Hurricane Ike disaster grant that is being administered by the Texas General Land Office. Item G is to execute, receive, and file a contract for the Keith Lake Park Boat Ramp with Shirley & Sons Construction, Inc. in the amount of $2,233,035.08. Maybe we can get them to knock off that 8 cents. Item K is to approve change order number 2 for the bridge replacement on Lawhorn Road at Green Pond Gully with Tom Mack, Inc. to increase contract days by 30, bringing the total contract days up to 90 days. Additional contract days are due to inclement weather. Item L is to approve, execute, receive, and file an amendment 2 to the contract for pest control services for Jefferson County. The amendment will add quarterly treatment for the Jefferson County Marine Unit located in Sabine Pass in the amount of $55 quarterly. Item M is to consider and approve the interdepartmental transfer of a 1994 Chevrolet C3500 pickup truck from Road and Bridge Precinct 2 to the regional airport, as authorized by government code, local government code section 262.011J. And item N is to consider and possibly approve an auction of surplus property as authorized by local government code section 263.152A1 to be auctioned by Horns Auction Company on Saturday, December 7th, 2013 at 9 o'clock a.m. Do I have a motion on those items under purchasing with the exception of G?
So I have a motion on that question.
Second.
Too. Judge, we at the, I think in the earlier, we approved the Section 3 plan, and under these grants we're doing right here, most of those have some falling under Section 3, right?
Yes, I think.
Okay.
All of them.
All of
the federal funds.
Right. We probably need to get an update from Fred. I think Fred is the person that update to make sure that everyone is following in those parameters that we set for Section 3.
Okay. When he gets back from hearings this afternoon, I'll talk to him about getting us an update on that.
Okay.
Also note, Ms. Guidry, that on item K, we only approve that. We're not doing an execute, receive, and file today because it has to be signed by the contractor first. So we're going to, purchasing is asked that we only approve it today. Okay, any other discussion on those items under purchasing? Commissioner Senegal. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Going back to item G is to award, execute, receive, and file acceptance of offer for Ford Park Arena House public address system for Jefferson County with Sweet Southern Sound in the amount of $82,334.59. We're going to have someone has signed up, Mr. Todd Norman with Gulf Coast Audio has signed up to speak at the in favor of that item. So do I have a motion on that item? Been moved and seconded. Discussion among members of the court. Well, I tell you what, why don't we hear from you first, Mr. Norman?
Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, good afternoon. There was a couple, three items that were brought to my attention that were, they claim is missing or incorrect on my bid spec for the sound system. My list is not I don't know if you have that bid list at all.
I don't have the bid list, but I had read on Friday the three missing items you're referring to.
Right, my list, there was one description for that list to be sent in, and it was provided itemized list of all materials and equipment and indicate the brand, model, and product numbers to be used for the project. And my assumption of that statement was to put a list of all the equipment that's in the bid spec that had brands, model, and product numbers for the fact of, you were allowed to substitute on this bid, and I didn't. I put everything that's in the bid spec that has a brand, make, and model number, I put in my list. That's what's on that list. It's not every single item in the bid in the installation. I left off the cables and things that weren't described in detail or specific parts or models within those components. As far as the amount of the bid was $79,200 and some change. Probably $78,500 was in the, that's what's in that amount there. There's some cables and things that weren't. And I'll go through the, and that was my assumption, and I take responsibility for that. I didn't put all equipment. I put everything with a brand, model, and product number. And if we go down that, there's three items in that list, and you have to bear with me. I'm not too comfortable in front of people. I apologize. And there's three items. It's probably easier if we start with number two. It said bid spec called for custom speaker fan outs to be provided, and the equipment is missing. Fan outs are basically one big cable going to the speakers, and then it breaks out into some short runs to connect to them. It's not missing in that bid list. It's there. Well, all the connectors are there, and it's listed on that sheet. 44 of one connector and 8 of another. So those 56 connectors make up those fan outs. But it's a build on site item. Until I get the speakers in, we make those connections the right length where they're nice and neat, and proper length where they're not too short or not too long, with where it looks real sloppy, because there's going to be a lot of cables in this system when they start moving it around like they plan to. So that was a build on site item, but the connectors are there, which is several hundred dollars worth of connectors, and that's the main part of that. Just some short little jumper wires is the only thing left. So that one is in the bid. The third one says a distance of 300 feet for the snake cable was measured and discussed during the pre-bid meeting. GCA lists only 250. Now, unfortunately, when my office manager's not in my office, kind of falls apart sometimes, and I have to type things up. Well, my two fingers don't type so well. It's supposed to say 350 because 300 wasn't mentioned at the meeting, and nothing was measured at the meeting. But what was discussed that it needed to reach the farthest end of anywhere in the arena. Well, if you do the math, the arena is, well, the floor is 275 feet long, 135 wide, and you got to have 52 feet up to the top. So even if you take the length in half, wherever you go, you have to go 52 feet up, 138 over, and 135 across just to get to the catwalk, which is still a ways away from the control booth, which is two floors down. That's already 325 feet, so 300 won't do it anyway. But I understand that could be hearsay, but I actually have a copy of my estimate that I acquired from my snake cable company, stating that it was a 350 footer on the date of October 21st, which was 2 days after the bid meeting, or the Monday after the bid meeting. So that was just a typographical error on my part. I take full blame for that one. It wasn't any means to cut corners or not do something on the bid. Obviously, I signed that contract with the full intent of doing everything within the bid spec, knowing that the county could have legal issues after that and sue me for not doing the job properly. I totally understand that. But that one was just a simple typographical error. And the 300 feet, I don't believe would make it everywhere in the arena like they plan. Now, the first issue was bid specs called for drive signal cabling. And I understand a lot of this is probably Greek to a lot of you. I'll try to use layman's terms. Bid spec called for drive signal cabling with connectors and plate from console to processor and console to floor are to be provided. This equipment is missing. Now, it's not half of that is not missing. The console to floor is a snake that's on number 3. That 350-foot snake that they move around the venue. That's that snake. I think they just made a mistake on that one because it is there. It's the one that was 250 feet that should have been 350, as a typo, as I explained. The other signal cabling is from the control booth to the catwalks upstairs to where the amp racks are located. And those are, it's just a four-channel, simple little cable, ends on both sides, and it's probably 50 to 75 feet away. In my full bid spec, which I have a copy if somebody wanted to see it, I have 200-foot cables just spec'd for that, because whenever you do a bid, it never turns out like they plan when they spec it. Things are always a little different or changed. So being that this bid had a lot of holes in it, and there was a lot of information that wasn't either described or clear, I made sure that, and it was such a short time frame, I only had 2 days to get the bid ready after the meeting, that I bid in the longest possible way of doing it. If the processors were downstairs or upstairs, or split up there, downstairs, wherever it is, I'm covered. If anything, I think we're gonna use a lot less cable than that, but I bid enough to do more than that. But this, the fact that that wasn't on there was due to the fact that I misunderstood that statement of equipment with brand makes and model numbers. Every bid we do for the city, county, schools, the spec, they always ask for a certain model. Well, you can substitute, but they have make sure it's an apples-to-apples comparison in quality, and that way it's not an inferior product or cheaper to save money. And I made sure that everything that was in there that had a brand-specific or any kind of description whatsoever was on that list. The one snake, or those 200-foot snakes that aren't in here, equivalent to $300 worth of dollars. 99% of the bid is what's on this list. And other than me just making an assumption, which I guess nobody should do, and then a typographical error with my typing skills.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Basically, what I understand, parts of your bid, you admit some tidiness in your type, but you or somebody from your company witnessed some of the things that was said wouldn't be there, was in place?
I'm not sure I quite understand.
For example, you said parts of a speaker system that was stated you had to put a new one in, but there was parts of it there.
I still don't, I mean, are we talking about this bid or just other bids in general?
Just in this bid right here, everything you went out and reviewed, you put in a bid to put everything in new, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, it's everything in the bid spec is listed. And certain thing, it says that on that one line, it says drive cabling with connectors and plate from console to processor. It never mentions a plate anywhere in the bid, anywhere in addendum one, anywhere in addendum two. That the cabling, other than that really big 350 footer that I said it needs to be 350, the other small cables aren't really described anywhere in the bid other than contractor is to supply those cables, which I didn't supply. I didn't list the cables within the racks that plug everything together, but they're all small patch cables. All that's just normal routine when it comes to bidding, as far as bidding every single little connector and cable.
Purchase. Are all the bidders given the same opportunity to address everything he has brought up?
Yes, sir. Everything was sent out to both bidders. We only had two responders on this, and both of them were given the exact same letter to clarify their bids, requesting quote all material list, itemized list of all materials and equipment, and indicating brand, model, and product numbers to be used for this product. Also, that was sent out to both bidders with timeline to respond. And then I also followed up with phone calls to both of them to make sure they received their information.
How many days do we go out to bid? How long is it?
Legally, we have to be out to bid for 14 days. I'll have to count it. I think it's because we like to open bids on a Tuesday, and so rather than opening on Monday, we do it on Tuesday. And so it's longer than the long fish.
And I heard him say something about 2 days to get in. If it was 14
it's
days.
Not mandatory.
It's 14 days or 16 days. Do we have a specific time frame from the time we put it out to the time we award it, in between that to the time that we have them in for a on-site visit?
We don't have a specified time for on-site visits unless we require a mandatory pre-bid meeting.
If I may say that the 2 days that I think you were referring to what I said, we received this bid at the office on, it was either Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, I believe was when I received it, when I got to the office Wednesday. So it was probably there Tuesday, I'm assuming. The meeting was Thursday morning, and that gave us Thursday afternoon, Friday, Monday, and it was due Tuesday. So it was short as far as when I was informed of this. If it was posted on the county website, then I don't look there every week. So as far as when we received it at our office.
Mr. Norman, on your participation form, you put your farthest item. And your complaint, and I understand that you're with Gulf Coast?
Yes, sir.
So you're objecting to us awarding the bid as it is now?
To Sweet Southern Sound, yes, sir.
Right.
I'm here to object on the three things, and it was come to explain my position on these.
So you're asking that we go back out for bids on this and allow you another chance to bid on this project?
I was actually under the impression that I would present my case today, and if everybody was understanding and believe what I said and presented to the court, that it would not be passed on because of what was in this. So if I'm not, I misunderstand the normal procedures, I apologize. It's the first time I've had to go through this.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Did you go back to purchasing to talk to them?
About which part?
About the concerns you have.
As soon as I received this, I called. Yes, sir.
And what was your answers from them?
Well, they said that you have the right to show up at the court today and present your case and discuss the items on there of why they didn't want to award the bid to me. And that's where we're at today.
But what I'm concerned about, you stipulating that you had several errors on your bid, right? That's what you said, what I understood?
Well, one error, typo on my part, yes, absolutely one error. The other one was just a misunderstanding of the questions for what they were requiring. I was under the understanding that was a, and I didn't believe anything else. I totally believe that this is, they were looking for a list of equipment to show that we weren't substituting gear for a cheaper quality,
right,
just like when we did the event center or every other city or county bid, that you don't substitute and that you're getting exactly what you spec.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to be clear on where you stand. I understand you objected to us awarding the bid, but the legalities of it is what we're going to have to, well, I'm going to have to hold to, and that's what I'm leaning on from the purchasing lady here. Is that the legalities of the stipulation along with what you presented to the two parties? Thank you.
Mr. Norman, outside, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Outside of the these three items that have been addressed on the bid, does your company have a relationship with Yorktown, the equipment supplier for this project?
We've dealt with the product before, yes, sir.
Do you have any kind of certification with them for it being a installer that they will support you from the corporate or the factory?
I don't have written certification. No, I've talked to the company since the bid came out, as soon as we found out, called them about the fact that somebody from the company has to come down and tune the system. There's no other exception. So I called the company about that. That's why that you have to put that much in. You have to pay for that too. So that's in the bid also.
I don't know if this is a document that we've in possession of and purchasing or not, but I do have in my possession a response from a representative of Yorkville Sound that said that due to the fact that they are not familiar with your company, that they cannot support and provide factory support for your company in the installation of these products. I don't know if that's subject to change or not with certain things, but that certainly is a concern of mine.
Oh, I totally understand what you're saying, sir. We install every brand out there, every installer like me does. We can buy the gear. As far as service, you just take it to the company just like anybody else would. And as far as the factory technician that's required, I called the company immediately and talked to them. They said, yes, you need the one you need to talk to is – he's out of Ohio. He's the one who's going to come down and do it. You need to be able to pay for his airfare, hotel, and room and board, and meals and such. And usually it's going to be a day's worth of programming. And I asked for an amount on that, and that's what was reflected inside the bid. I don't know anything about the letter that you have.
Well,
I didn't have anything negative.
It's an email. It just states that let's see, basically that Yorkville is familiar with one of the companies that bid, but who is an authorized dealer for their equipment. And they said, we regret to inform you that due to lack of knowledge of Gulf Coast Audio and their installation ability and the complex nature of this professional audio product, Yorkville would not be able to provide factory support to the aforementioned installer.
Okay.
So, and this was dated October the 31st.
Well, it's news to me that they wouldn't support. I mean, as far as the warranties and such, that's within the company, no matter who sells
it. Well, like I said, I don't know if this is a, if this is official company position or whatever, but when I saw it, it did send up a red flag to me.
I totally understand. I totally understand.
I'd be concerned awarding a bid to a company that's not going to have factory support on the equipment that's being supplied.
No, I don't really understand what would be the factory support they wouldn't supply, because if it's warranty and repair, it's under warranty just like any other product you buy off the shelf.
That was just, the labor side of it. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not, but I wanted to make you aware of it, that that was
that is news to me.
That we did, or I was at least received.
It's news to me, yes, sir.
You said that's news to you?
That they stated that they wouldn't offer factory support.
Yeah, that was my biggest concern.
Well, I don't understand how they can not give you factory support. Now, I can see if they don't want to go out of their way, but anything factory as far as warranty, which is the main concern is warranty if something fails. The labor part of it is under my part. The fact or the repair of the components or anything under the warranty of that product is covered by them, no matter who buys or sells it.
Mr. Hughes, I thought I also read something about their having the system having to be balanced or.
Yeah, let me try to clarify something as far as I could. The system is designed, we have designs, what we expect.
Got to go to the mic.
System as we have designed it and spec'd it to be is a very specialized and unique system for that facility and gives us a lot of different capabilities and flexibilities that we do not have with the system now. The Yorkville letter and rep, we contacted Yorkville and said, we are considering both of these companies. Please verify that you will support either one of them in the event that we're to select one of these companies for calibration and certification of that system. When you buy an audio system of this nature, of this amount of money, it's not a matter of just going down to a store and opening up a box and sticking it on a shelf and pressing play. This is a highly tuned piece of equipment who they have to send out a certified technician to calibrate the system to sound correctly in the environment that it's going to be placed. If Yorkville cannot guarantee that they can provide us with that technician to certify and verify the system, then I can't recommend that we go with that company.
John, but I just think that should be part of the bid, because this is getting a little nerve-wracking to me.
It is part of it. It is part of the bid, Commissioner.
Clear, first of all,
it absolutely,
but it should have been part in mine, so he would know that. And now his company is being discussed openly.
That is correct.
You know, so I'm not real. I didn't get that email.
That's correct.
Mr. Rubb, I'm kind of like this.
Yes, sir.
A little uncomfortable with all the stuff I've heard. And I would have to depend on you reviewing and giving us some okays on this before I move forward.
Well, I'm not sure what that means, Commissioner.
Meaning?
You have a factual determination to make. I think you have those issues before you. I'm comfortable with whatever decision you make here today is a decision that I can defend if challenged in court.
That's what I want to hear.
I want to, Mr. Hughes, is there any, based on the timeline for installation, is there any event being held out there that mandates that we act today, or would next week be soon enough? And here's why I'm saying, since he was not aware of the information about Yorkville not supporting, we can give an opportunity for that to be re-verified or for them to change their mind.
You can certainly provide that to the judge. I will note that, while not in the business, sorry about that. I said we can certainly do that. There is no event that is absolute in nature that we have to have the system. We currently have a system that is operating. While it's not operating efficiently or to our desired spec, and that's why we're going out for a new system. But that was not part of necessarily the bid spec, but the intent here is that the existing system stay operational through installation of this process. And so that's one of our concerns, is that this.
What is the installation timeline?
Well, we wanted to begin installation with the month of December.
And the time to complete?
Ideally, I'm sorry?
Time to complete would be how long?
Depending on the installer, probably 3 weeks.
The biggest concern to me was obviously whether or not the system was going to be supported. So, you know, I would be in favor of putting this item off until next week so we can give it opportunity to see whether or not he can change Yorkville's mind or make them comfortable with his qualifications. You know, we always prefer to go with local as opposed to out of town and when we can. And so we'd prefer to go with you, but we also want to make sure that we have a system that can be supported from a technical standpoint, and that we're going to have 3 years down the line, we're going to have support for keeping a good working order and repair.
Judge, question, is the other vendor not local also? Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, okay, I just wanted a point of clarification there.
I guess I just assumed from the name that they were from Alabama.
There is one in every state.
Okay. All right. Well, we will. Are y'all comfortable with putting it off till next Monday?
That was my primary concern about the issue was not having corporate or manufacturing support, because we seem to have had a lot of issues, you know, at different facilities, and they come back to haunt us later on. So we would certainly like to make sure that we have full support, warranty coverage, not only by you, but by the factory on this. And absolutely, if they can't support it, that's a major concern for me.
Would I be able to get a copy of what letter you have?
It's personally emailed to me.
Oh, okay.
Someone else.
I'll follow up.
The answer is yes, you can have it.
Because
I have.
You will have a copy of it.
It's on my computer, so it's yours if you ask for it.
Should I do that over to purchasing, or how should I approach that?
We'll make you a copy after court.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. Put that back on next week, Ms. George, please. Under County Auditor, item A is to receive and file transcript for 2013 refunding bonds. Item B is to receive and file financial and operating statements for the month ending September 30th, 2013 that are unadjusted. Item C is to receive and file the certified rural jurisdiction summary resolution for the tax roll for the tax year 2013 for Jefferson County. Item D is regular county bills, check numbers 386833 through 387038, and check numbers 387039 through 387353. The first group of checks I read was for the period ending November 4th, and the second group is for the period ending November 11th. Do we have a motion on those items? Been moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Clerk, we have one item, which is to consider, approve, execute. An interlocal agreement for contractual obligations and voting equipment supplies between Jefferson County and Rockwall County. Do we have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That item passes unanimously. Under County Treasurer, one item is A, to receive and file the investment schedule for October 2013, including the year-to-date total earnings on county funds. I have a motion. Moved by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion on that item? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing nothing, it is unanimous. Under Engineering Department, we have two items. Item A, to consider and possibly approve and execute a memorandum of agreement between Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and Jefferson County for the purpose of granting access rights for wetland mitigation to the J.D. Murphy Wildlife Management Area at the Keith Lake Boat Ramp. located in precinct number 3, and via addendum, should be item B on the addendum, reads item A, is to consider and possibly authorize the county judge to execute, receive, and file a permanent easement agreement with Sunoco Pipeline LP for a 30-foot wide easement crossing lot 12 of block 5 in Cardinal Meadows subdivision. That's located in precinct 2. Do I have a motion on those items under engineering?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal and seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Is there any discussion on these items?
Judge, I'm just real. I had a call from the media about this wildlife, and I understand that kind of short of the marsh area, but you just give us an overview of exactly what that does.
What this does is gives our contractor permission to do work on the wildlife management area. There's a very small portion of the bulkheading that has to go over them to their area, and they have to have this agreement. As soon as it's executed, we'll send it directly to them, and they'll sign it and get it back to us to receive and file.
Right. That's in the new Keith Lake?
Yes, yes. No, this is the new boat ramp project.
Thank you.
Right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Glad to finally get this boat ramp and parking area under after about 15 years. Lastly, under risk management, item A is consider and possibly approve self-insuring against any loss covered by the public official's bond for Ms. Jane Burge, the interim district clerk, effective October 22nd, 2013. Have a motion. Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously, and that concludes our regular agenda. Commissioners, y'all have anything you wish to bring to the attention of the public? What about your food drive?
Oh, yeah. We'll be hosting a food drive for community care outreach in Nederland at my office. It's going to be cold that day Thursday, so you don't have to get out of your car. Just drive up, and we'll have some citizens there be grabbing the food. So far, we've collected quite a bit. I appreciate all the elected officials and county departments that have contributed to this effort, and just appreciate it. So y'all come out Thursday from 8 to 4.
I'll just tell you, community care prayer outreach is located in Nederland, but most of the services that they provide are provided to South and North County residents. They have numerous projects, the Elizabeth Project that helps the unwed mothers. They have a GED program. They provide clothing for school children. They provide utility assistance to those who find themselves in trouble. They provide food throughout the year to those who find themselves in difficult circumstances, and they do a whole lot with very little. So I know that they would appreciate the support of the community in assisting them. Anything else? If nothing further, then we are adjourned. Thank you very much.